This is Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling, too.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way.
Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go.
Listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. We have an exciting show for you today, I think one that you're certainly going to enjoy. We'll be talking with Michael Martin Murphy about his 20th annual Cowboy Christmas Tour, celebrating the Cowboy Christmas Ball that began in Anson, Texas back in 1885. So we're going to have some great music and great conversation with Michael Martin Murphy when we come back.
Way out in West Texas, where the Clear Fork waters flow, where the cattle are a-browsing and the Spanish ponies grow, where the northers come a-whistling and the old dust devils roll, and the prairie dogs are sneezing and freezing from the cold, where the lonesome tawny prairies melt into the airy streams, and the double mountains slumber in the heavenly kind of dreams, where the antelope are grazing and the lonesome plovers call. It was there that I attended the Cowboy Christmas Ball. The music was a fiddle and a lively tambourine, and a big bass violin ported by stage from Abilene. Now the room was togged out gorgeous with mistletoe and shawls, and the candles flickered frescoes all around them merry walls.
Where the women folk looked lonely and the boys looked kind of strange, till the leader commenced to yelling,
"Hey boys, let's all stampede!"
And the music started sighing and a wailing through the hall. It's a kind of introduction to the Cowboy Christmas Ball.
The leader was a feller that come from Swenson's ranch.
Yep, they called him Windy Bill from Little Dead Man's Branch.
When he commenced to holler,
"Now fellas, stake your pens, lock horns with all them heifers,
and wrestle them just like men."
Salute them lovely critters, now swing them and let them go. And
climb the grapevine round and round. Now hands all do-si-do. You mavericks join the roundup, just skip the waterfall. Boy, it was getting active at the cowboy Christmas ball. Boys were tolerable skittish, and the ladies powerful neat. That old bass violin music made us jump in with both feet. That wailing frisky fiddle I never will forget. And Windy Bill kept singing, and I believe I hear him yet.
Oh yes, boys chasing them squirrels, cut them to the side. Doc Hollis to the center, oh, now Crosby Charlie's bride. Around you get old kittens, now rope and balance all. Oh.
Hey, it was getting happy at the cowboy Christmas ball.
The dust rose fast and furious, and we all just galloped round.
Till the scenery got so giddy that Z-Bar Dick went down. We buckled to our partners and told them to hold on. And shook our hooves like lightning until the early dawn. Don't tell me about cotillions or polkas, no siree. That whirl in Nansen City, it takes the cake from me. Oh, Bill, I won't forget you, and I often will recall that lively gated soiree called the Cowboy Christmas Ball. Oh, no, I won't forget it, the Cowboy Christmas Ball.
You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and that's the Cowboy Christmas Ball, and we have our friend Michael Martin Murphy on the line that's joining us today from out in Colorado. Michael, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas. This
it's here.
It's here. It is here. And we're just
holiday season is upon us.
It is. I've been listening to some great Christmas music the last couple of days, and we're delighted to have you join us to talk about the Cowboy Christmas Ball and your 20th Cowboy Christmas Tour. And how did that start, Michael? How did the Cowboy Christmas Ball get started?
It got started actually before 20 years ago. This is actually the 20th anniversary of me playing in Anson, Texas at the original ball. I started producing Cowboy Christmas Balls long before that, and but I did not know that the original ball was still going. In 1885, they held the first Cowboy Christmas Ball in Anson, Texas. And the song was written that became nationally popular. It's in the American folk song canon, if you will, that, you know, if you buy a book on American folk songs, you'll find it in a lot of those books. I learned of the song and played it in 1985 as my first single release on Warner Brothers. But I had no idea that the people in Anson, Texas had been keeping it going all that time since 1885. I even made an album called Cowboy Christmas, which I released in 1991.
Right.
After that album came out, I got a phone call, and we were doing Cowboy Christmas Balls back then. Before that, we got
okay.
a phone call from the committee, and the committee said, "Would you like to come and play at the Cowboy Christmas Ball in Anson, Texas, the original one?" And I said, "Of course I would, but I'm floored. I had no idea they were still having this thing. I couldn't believe it. But, you know, that's good old Texas people. Texas people, once they get a tradition they like, they don't budge."
Right,
and,
right.
So I played it in 1993, and thus we say it's the 20th anniversary of me playing at the Anson Ball, but it's, I've actually been doing the balls a lot longer than that.
Wow.
But it did get started because the whole concept of the tour, it did get started because of the Cowboy Christmas Ball song and the album that I made, in which I imagined what music they would have done back then. I did a lot of research, and I was already playing that kind of music mixed in with my own music on every Christmas tour.
Right.
But then when I met up with the real people, boy, that really sparked a lot of changes in the show, and they showed me what they danced to. And a lot of it I was right on, but a lot of it I didn't know anything about. So we've added a lot of that to the tour since then. And so now it's a really strong mix of teen 80s cowboy music and contemporary country music and even pop music and classical Christmas carols.
Well, it looks like a lot of fun. You know, it was real interesting as I was kind of doing a little research on this. It was actually a New Yorker that
I'm going to interrupt you and tell you that it is nothing but fun. It is absolutely the most fun thing I've ever been to, and the most fun thing I do all year long is the Cowboy Christmas Tour. I don't have to worry about, did I have a hit single this week? I don't have to worry about how my latest album is doing. I don't have to worry about any of that. This is about Christmas and about a tradition. Nobody cares about anything recent. What they want is to be inspired to get the Christmas spirit, and that's the greatest job in the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. Well, it was pretty interesting to realize that a New Yorker had come in and back in 1885 and witnessed the Cowboy Christmas Ball. And then wrote the lyrics to the song.
Well, because you're an equestrian legacy here, you know,
because
of what you do, this is a great story to tell for people who love anything to do with horses and particularly Western horsemanship. Larry Chittenden was a New York Times journalist who came from a well-heeled, wealthy family. Literally, he was kind of a foppish, kind of a spoiled kid. Cole bought a whole bunch of land in Texas, and it wasn't uncommon in those days for people back east and even from Europe to own the big cattle ranches out west. We complain about it today. We say, those foreigners and those back east people are buying up all of our land. The truth is it's always been that way. The big ranchers were generally speaking, not the local people. So he owned this big ranch, and he goes out to visit his uncle. And being a very entrepreneurial young man whose father was on him about, you know, you can't just live off the family money. You got to work a little bit. He also became an agricultural product salesman while he was out there, and he was selling stuff. So he goes to visit his uncle, takes a little bit of time off from his sales and from his New York Times journalism reporting, for which I'm sure he wasn't paid much.
Right.
And he goes to this ball in 1885 at the Morningstar Hotel. And what he saw there was so astounding to him, seeing cowboys in their spurs and their boots and stuff dancing at this dance. He wrote this poem, and it was a whimsical poem. Whimsical, fun, funny poetry was really a big deal back in the 19th century. They published it a lot in even the biggest newspapers. You don't see it anymore. Back in those days, they published a lot of poetry, especially if it was funny. And the New Yorker is probably the only magazine that's kept that going through their cartoons and an occasional poem that they run in there. But so here comes Larry Chittenden. He sees this thing. He writes this poem. He takes it to the New York Times and said, here's my poem. And they said, we're not going to publish that. People are not interested in cowboys back here. they're the low end of the totem pole in society anyway. Cowboys are nothing but dirty, scruffy, low lives. And so he sent it to the London Times, and the London Times had a romantic enough view of the American cowboy that they published it.
Oh, wow.
And then when they found out, when the New York Times found out that the London Times took it, then they took it. And then it became a syndicated poem, and it got everywhere. By 1890, Chittenden was famous all over the world for having written this poem, and he puts out a book called Ranch Verses, which is an entire book of cowboy poetry. It's one of the first cowboy poetry books. And he goes and checks into the Palace Hotel. 1890, we just found his name on the register to prove that he really did this. He goes and he gives money to the Cowboy Christmas Ball Committee to keep the tradition going. And then he gets somebody to set it to music, and it becomes a popular song. And next thing you know, his uncle up and dies and leaves the ranch to Larry.
Okay.
So this New York office journalist who, in his early 20s, suddenly inherits one of the biggest ranches in Texas and comes down there to run it. And you know what?
What?
He passed the test. The Texans were really impressed with Larry Chittenden, not only for making their ball famous, but because he came down there, took over one of the biggest ranches in Texas, ran it very well, learned how to rope, learned how to ride, learned all the Western horsemanship, and made a dang good cowboy as well as a ranch owner.
Wow. Wow. That's quite, that is quite a story. That is quite a story. Well, you know, we want to play several of your songs because we want people to have a little flavor of what they can expect when they come out to the tour. And I'd like to play, and when you were talking about how impressed he was with the Cowboys and their Spurs jingling, I thought we might play the Christmas Cowboy style song from your Cowboy Christmas album. So let's listen to that, and then we'll come back and visit a little bit more.
Okay,
we're
great.
We're talking with Michael Martin Murphy.
On a winter night, by full moonlight, two horses and an open sleigh. We'll take a ride, a cowboy and his bride, and stop for friends along the way. The time is here, we've waited all year, and holiday excitement fills the air. We'll make the hillsides ring with the songs we'll sing, go gliding through the old town square. It's the cowboy way of celebrating Christmas. Coming right along beside us for a while. Could there ever be a time as fine as this is? Christmas cowboy style. Yodeling in the snow, a yodeling ho ho ho. Christmas cowboy style. So on we go through the falling snow, to warm ourselves by Grandpa's fire. A family gathered round the tree, all singers in a country choir. There'll be gifts handmade, reins of rawhide braid, a saddle blanket woven red and white. It's working gear we'll use all year, and remember Christmas night. It's the cowboy way of celebrating Christmas. Come and ride along beside us for a while. Could there ever be a time as fine as this is? Christmas cowboy style. Yodeling in the snow, yodeling ho ho ho. Christmas cowboy style. Style. Yodeling in the snow, yodeling ho ho ho. Christmas cowboy style. Yodeling in the snow, yodeling ho ho ho. Christmas cowboy style.
It's Michael Martin Murphy's Christmas Cowboy Style, and we're talking to Michael Martin Murphy on Equestrian Legacy Radio, and I think he's been sitting out in Colorado in an ice storm out there, so we're just glad you could get connected with us today, and hope everything goes
well. keep in mind that Colorado's pretty good about clearing things pretty fast. The traffic is still moving. And our show is on the 22nd, and I don't anticipate we're going to have any problems for people to be able to get to the show.
Oh, that's great.
Supposed to move out of here, but, you know, it was just that initial morning rush traffic coming up here to Colorado Springs from a little town I live in Colorado.
Well,
kind of slowed me down.
Yeah, Colorado handles snow and a little ice much better than Nashville, Tennessee does. We just kind of close down when things happen. So, anyway,
well,
we're talking.
State taxes are a lot higher here too. They can afford all that snow removal equipment.
Oh gosh. Well, we're talking about the Cowboy Christmas Tour, and we were just talking about Larry Chittenden and how he became a cowboy after he had attended that Cowboy Christmas Ball. Your tour starts tomorrow night, and you're going to be in Colorado Springs at the Stargazer Theater, I believe.
It's actually called, it's plural, it's called the Stargazers Theater, and it is actually an old planetarium where they used to put
cool.
on planetarium shows, and then these people bought it and took it over with the help of the city and turned it into a performance theater. So now it's music stars instead of planetarium-type stars.
Well, I probably would enjoy that more than the other. Let me ask you, Michael, who's on the tour with you this time? Who's your... Who is your crew?
Oh, my band is just an incredible band this year. We have... of course, Gary Roller, who's played bass in my band for 30 years, and he'll be along. And Gary is literally not only the bass player, but he's the bassist of the whole band. You know, he knows everything I've ever written and everything I've ever done, and it really helps when the bass player knows all that.
Yeah.
Gary's from Amarillo, Texas, and he's also a phenomenal Western artist. So at the end of the night, you know, he sells a lot of his artwork, which is all cowboy type stuff and Indian type stuff that he sells there. He was voted one of the 100 greatest sculptors in the history of the world.
Wow.
For Western art. He's famous for having done the bust of John Wayne for the John Wayne family, and also the bust of Walt Disney for the Walt Disney family.
Wow. Wow. Oh, I've got some of his art right behind me here in the studio. So, yeah, we like Gary. We like his work.
Then also I have with me Pat Flynn on guitar, who is legendary for having been the founder of Newgrass Revival, probably one of the most influential bands in modern times.
Right.
They took bluegrass to a completely modern level, introduced Beatles-like harmonies to the music, and just did a lot. I'm really proud to have him along. I consider him to be, a lot of people agree with me, I think he's the finest acoustic guitar player in the world today.
Yes.
The finest living acoustic guitar player. And a heck of a mandolin player, too, by the way. And then I've got a kid I just hired for the first time this year. He's 20 years old. His name is Sean Richardson. He's from Dearborn, Michigan. And plays 20 different instruments. He plays 5 instruments in the show.
Good.
His main instrument is mandolin, and he's also a guitarist, but he plays keyboards, he plays fiddle. He does a lot of stuff in the show. And then we've got Maylene Felton, who I've known since she was 9 years old. She's 22 now. She was a child genius, too, kind of like Sean was. But last year was the first year that I worked with her. And she won a national classical violin competition and national concert pianist competition. But she also is a phenomenal country fiddler and a great pop keyboard player. And I'm really proud of her, you know. We got her through college, And she was adopted by American parents. She's from born in Taiwan.
Wow. She's
been blind since she was since she was 6 months old. And she is now one of the centerpieces of the band. People just love her. She's really cute. She sings great. She plays great. Then we have a gal named Pauline Reese, who won the Best Female Vocalist in Texas Music in 2012. And she's at PaulineReese.com. And you can read all about her. But to me, she's the candidate to be the next big, really big country star. She's a phenomenal singer. She's a great looking gal. She's unlike a lot of these female singers in country music, she's also a good musician. She can play the guitar. So she plays guitar and sings in the show. And so we have two girls in the band for the first time ever.
Wow.
And it's working out great. And that's the band for this year.
Well, it sounds like a great group that you put together to put on this tour, and you know, it's if you listen to the music from the acoustic album that you did and the Cowboy Christmas album that you did, it's some of it's quite different, and I was listening through some things. What is your favorite? Do you have a favorite Christmas song from the show that you do?
Oh, the Cowboys Christmas Ball, no question. The old original Larry Chittenden song.
Uh-huh.
That's my favorite. Yeah, it's got so much character in it, and it's the foundation of why the ball it lasted that long in Anson, and it's the foundation of our whole show. It's very descriptive of the 1880s cowboy, which is still what I look up to when I think about cowboy life and a Western lifestyle. What I look up to are those original old 1880s Chisholm Trail drovers. Those guys could do anything, and they were really, really tough. And they're still on a pinnacle for me. We'll never turn out cowboys in modern times. It'll ever be what they were, but, you know, you can aspire to it. And,
yeah.
You can just hear in the description of the song all of that, and that's why I love the song. And also, it established an American tradition of Christmas, which is the only one we've got. We don't have another American folk tradition of Christmas. There isn't one.
Right.
All the New England Christmas stuff is based on the way they celebrated Christmas in England in the Victorian times. And, you know, every year when we go on tour, we run up against the Nutcracker, which is a Russian version of Christmas.
Right.
And we run up against a Christmas Carol, which is a British version of Christmas. And so we always have to think about that, but we're the only really American-type show. So that's why I look up to that song so much, because it taught me so much. And in my research to put this show together, I learned how many Christmas carols that I thought were written by Europeans were actually written in the USA.
Oh, really?
Came upon a Midnight Clear was written by a Boston minister in the 1880s. There's a whole list. But we try to emphasize songs that were actually written in America. I think America is the most Christmas-loving country in the world, because we've got our Christmas carols that are religious that were written in this country that are great ones, like We Three Kings. Believe
right.
it or not, We Three Kings was written in America by another minister in New England. But we've also got our great pop songs, our Christmas pop songs. And it's the fact that we had pop songs and religious songs written here that makes America probably the most Christmas-loving country in the world. I mean, there were guys on Tin Pan Alley who were Jewish songwriters who wrote pop songs that wrote Christmas stuff.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
yeah. Well, yeah, you look at some of the Broadway musicals, and then some of the movies that we've got that are just classics, like White Christmas and Holiday mm-hmm. Inn, and a lot of those that were written by Jewish composers and writers. So it's great.
Nowadays, you know, there's so much politically correct stuff going around. And well, now listen, you know, should we not just call it the holidays and not Christmas? Because aren't we offending the Jewish people? Aren't we offending this religion and that religion? Well, apparently we weren't back in those days, because so many Jewish songwriters. I did a study on this. 70% of the pop songs that are about Christmas, and keep in mind, a lot of them are not religious.
Right.
But 70% of those songs were written by Jewish songwriters on Tin Pan Alley.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're great songs.
And they love Christmas. You can tell they can tell they love the Christmas holidays and don't have any problem at all with celebrating Christmas right along the same time that they have Hanukkah. So, you know.
That's right.
I think we've just gotten so politically correct. We worry about stuff that really we shouldn't worry about.
Well, you're absolutely right. And the Christmas season is one that we need to make sure we keep Christmas and not the holiday season per se. Hey, there's one song that I found that I wanted to play, and it's an interesting song to me. It's called "Was in the Moon of Wintertime," and anything you want to tell us about that?
That is probably the first American or New World Christmas carol. It was written by a Jesuit missionary up in Quebec. At the time that he went there, of course, this is in the 1700s, it's really wild up there.
Mm-hmm.
And he went out there to minister to the Huron Indians, and he lived with them. But they had enemies called the Algonquins. Anyway, he wrote this hymn to try to explain the Christmas story in the context of what the Indians could understand.
Right.
So in the song, Jesus is not born in a manger, because they didn't know anything about a manger. He said, in a lodge of broken bark, the tender babe was found. A ragged robe of rabbit skin enwrapped his beauty round. Not swaddling clothes, but rabbit skin. And instead of shepherds hearing the news, it's hunters that are out on the land hunting for food for the tribe who hear the news.
Right.
It's a wonderful version of the Christmas story that doesn't take anything away from the original story. But there's no way that those people could have understood what camels were all about. They didn't know anything about a desert. They knew nothing
right.
about the culture that Jesus was born in. So I always do that song, and I do it with a tom-tom on stage. I just use a drum. Nobody else is playing. Up there on the record, I use a little bit of percussion that would like rattles that they would use in an Indian ceremony. Well, you know, that Jesuit missionary was killed by the Algonquins when they came in and attacked the Hurons. And almost wiped out the tribe. The women and children that were left walked all the way from northern Quebec down to St. Lawrence River and went into the fort, which Quebec at Montreal was literally on an island and was a fort at that time. And they went inside the fort and lived with the Ursuline sisters, which is an order of nuns of the Catholic Church. And they lived there with them. And while they were there, they said, our missionary taught us this Christmas song. And they taught it to them, and the nuns were so impressed with it, they sent it to the Vatican, and the Vatican literally approved it to be in the Catholic hymnal.
Wow, wow. Well, this was a great song. It was an interesting It was an interesting song for me to find, and I wanted to share that with our listeners today and let you share the story. So let's listen. 'Twas in the Moon of Wintertime, and we'll be right back to talk with Michael Martin Murphy.
Was in the moon of wintertime when all the birds had fled, that God the Lord of all the earth sent angel choirs instead. Before their light the stars grew dim, and wondering hunters heard the hymn, Jesus your King is born, Jesus is born, in excelsis gloria. Within a lodge of broken bark the tender babe was found, a ragged robe of rabbit skin enwrapped his beauty round. But as the hunter prays tonight, the angel's song rang loud and high, Jesus your King is born, Jesus is born, in excelsis gloria. The earliest moon of winter time is not so round and fair as was the ring of glory on the helpless infant there. The chiefs from far before him knelt with gifts of fox and beaver pelt. Jesus your King is born, Jesus is born, in excelsis gloria. Children of the forest free, the angel song is true. The holy child of earth and heaven is born today for you. Come kneel before the radiant boy who brings you beauty, peace, and joy. Jesus your King is born, Jesus is born, in excelsis gloria.
This is Christ.
babe, the son of Mary. The babe, the son of Mary. What child?
You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. We're talking with Michael Murphy today about his 20th annual Cowboy Christmas Tour, and that begins tomorrow in Colorado Springs, Colorado, at the Stargazers Theater there. But we're going to talk more about that in just a little bit. But and again, I appreciate you joining us today. I know that you guys are really busy with your rehearsals and ready to kick off a about a month-long tour that you have going on. But Michael, when we come to the shows, what are we going to see? What type of mixture of this music will we be listening to?
Well, for one thing, it's a production show. We have two different formats. We have the balls, which is a dance.
Okay.
If you come to one of the Cowboy Christmas balls, which we have one in Oklahoma City, we're playing at the original ball in Anson, Texas for the 20th time this year, and a couple of other places we actually put on dances. But if you come to that, you're going to come and dance. You're going to see a lot of people dressed up in 1880s gear, but it's not required that you have to wear that. You can wear anything you want and come to one of my events. But you'll see a lot of people that dress in the 1880s clothes that looks like Gone with the Wind in there when the ladies walk in a lot of times. That's fun, but you can wear anything. But if you see the production show is we use special effects. We have a backdrop. We have two large video screens that can be viewed from anywhere in the house. We have props on stage. And that show very much functions like a play. And the crux of the play is I play the part of a cowboy who's remembering Christmas in a more nostalgic time, in the old days before cell phones and before fax machines and before TV, and is remembering that kind of thing. And you know what? It's getting to be typecasting. This role that I play. I do remember all that stuff, you know, because I'm 68 years old now.
Right.
And I do remember as a kid when Christmas was never interrupted by, was not interrupted by football games and cable television and everybody having a cell phone and everybody being distracted by all this other stuff. You could actually focus on Christmas. And, so I basically come out as an 1880s cowboy remembering being at the old-time cowboy Christmas ball, not the original one. But
right.
I do tell the story of the ball, and so on the screen, pictorially, there's a lot of information that I've already given you in this interview
right.
about the ball. We actually have a lot of video that we took at the ball over the years. So people can see what it's like. So even if you just buy a ticket and you're sitting in a chair, you've gone to a dance at least virtually because you can see it on the screen. By the way, we don't ask people to turn their cell phones off during our shows. They can bring their cell phones and they can have them on. All we ask is you turn down the volume and don't make a phone call on it. But if you use it to go on the internet, you know, or to text or something, that's fine. We don't care.
Okay.
You know. But a lot of times we publish the actual set list on our website. You can go on your cell phone and see what the set list is. So we're high tech talking about an old fashioned thing.
And, right.
It's a lot of fun. It's also a very serious presentation at times about the real reason for Christmas. So what you're going to hear. Is you're going to hear a mixture of 1880s original Old West music written before 1900, dance music, instrumentals that were written before that time. You're going to hear then 1920s, 1930s, and 1940s country music, and fiddle music like Bob Wilson, the Texas Playboy Swing and stuff like that. And then you're going to hear my music. You're going to hear it brought right up to contemporary times, including some of the most recent stuff that we wrote for Red River Drifter that fits in the show. Every year, whatever album I put out, I always think about, you got to put a couple of songs on there that are going to fit into the Christmas show. And so so I do that every year. This year, we're doing two songs from Red River Drifter. Secret Smile is one of them, and the other one is Peaceful Country.
Okay.
And that fits in really well with the videos we have.
Okay, now let me share something with you. And we're going to play Secret Smile in just a little bit. You know, last time you were on, you talked about how you wrote the song with Ryan and another writer on this. But this morning, as I was getting ready and thinking about the show today, and you know, which music to include, I was thinking about Secret Smile. And my dad passed away 17 years ago, and he had the old 5 and 10 cent stores. Murph, do you remember those growing up?
Mm-hmm.
The old dime stores. And so he had a small
chain. We still got them. They call them dollar stores now.
Yeah. They're not quite as much fun as the old 5 and 10s were. But you know, I was thinking about this song. And thinking about the fact that Christmas is coming up, our family will be together. So, you know, mother is still alive. Dad's gone. We have brothers. We have children and now grandchildren. And I was thinking about the fact that if Dad was still there, that they would be looking at each other with a secret smile and saying, look what we've done. and probably this Christmas, I'll catch Mother to the side sometime and say, look what you and Daddy did. And that's about the time that'll be the time all the paper is flying and these grandbabies are doing everything. But let's play Secret
Smile.
That's
exactly what that song was written about.
Yeah. Well, and when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about that. But I want to play this song for folks. It's a great song, Secret Smile, Michael Martin Murphy.
There was mystery in that moment when I first saw your secret smile. Sometimes sunlight, sometimes midnight, sometimes a lady, sometimes a child. And from others you concealed it, but to me it was revealed. Secret smile between you and me. Secret smile that only we can see. You and me through the years. You and me through the tears. Across the miles we'll keep our secret smile. Laughing still in the spring, summer's first kiss, fading rainbows on the hill, fall's dark daydreams, sudden sunbeams, your voice whispering through wind and snow. Between you and me, smile that only we can see. You and me through the years, you and me through the tears. Across the miles we'll keep our secret smile. Across the miles we'll keep our secret smile. Promise me you'll keep our secret smile.
That's Michael Martin Murphy's Secret Smile, and we were just talking before we played that song about the secret smiles that people share. And Murph, you were sharing some things about one time when we talked about your mom and dad and a secret smile that you saw there.
Well, that's just the secret smile that lovers have between each other, and if they stay together for a lifetime, it changes a little bit to be a little bit different kind of smile that also says something about how long we've been together. And,
right.
And as you were just saying earlier, look at what we've done, you know.
Right.
So I saw that smile when my dad died. My mom was right there. We were all in the room with my dad in the hospital room. We actually were there and watched him pass away. And that smile, the last thing he said in life, in this world, was he looked her right in the eye, he smiled that same secret smile and said, "I love you, Lois."
Wow.
And died.
Wow.
And so that stuck with me for a long time, but it took my son, who I co-wrote that with, to come up with a way of putting it. So he came up with the idea, the title of Secret Smile. We were talking about that smile that mom and dad had, his grandparents had between each other, and he came up with the idea of it's kind of a secret smile. It's not that you keep it secret, it's just that nobody else really fully knows what it means except for those two people. And how could they? You have
right.
to have that much common experience, you know, of all the time that they've been together to understand it. But even if it's a short time, that smile between newlyweds or just between people that just recently have fallen in love, that smile means something that no one else can fully really ever know. And that's because God made us all unique individuals.
Right.
And as I travel around and meet thousands of people a year and do performances for thousands of people and meet them at the meet and greets after the show and sign autographs, I guess over a lifetime, the thing that impresses me the most is that every human being is uniquely different than every other one.
That's right. That is right. Well, it makes life richer and fuller when you have those special people in your life, and just the unique and different people that you run into. Make life richer and fuller. So, anyway, great songs, great show, and you know we're starting to run a little bit out of time. I have a lot of music that I wanted to play, and actually I have. Let me ask you, if you were going to play "Jolly Old Saint Nick" or "I Heard the Bells," which of those two would you rather hear?
Well, "I Heard the Bells" because I love the story behind it. I'll try to make it short since we're running out of time.
Okay.
That song was written by Wordsworth, the poet Wordsworth. He wrote it when he found out that his son had been killed in the Crimean War.
Wow.
And he shook his fist at God literally and said, "I don't believe in God anymore." And he stormed out of the – and it was on Christmas Eve that he got the news. He stormed out of the house and said, "I don't believe in God anymore. You know, God is dead." And then he was walking down the street in total, just had completely lost everything in his soul. And then he heard the bells chiming on the towers at midnight for Christmas to be rung in. And he sat down and wrote these words. And they're very significant words.
Okay.
God
well,
is not dead, nor doth he sleep. wrong shall fail, right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Wow. Wow. Well, this is a great song. This is a song that is on the Cowboy Christmas album, and it's one that Waddy Mitchell is on with you. So let's listen to I Heard the Bells, and this is Michael Martin Murphy and Waddy Mitchell.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, peace on the earth, goodwill to men.
I sometimes recall that Christmas night, the tops of the mountains capped with white, and the stars so bright they seemed to blaze, and the foothills swung in a silver haze. It was Christmas time for the rich and poor, and every ranch was an open door. The kids tried staying awake because they reckoned they might catch old Santa Claus. And the cowboy that come on a company horse was treated the same as the owner or boss. Nobody seemed to have a care. You was in amongst friends or you wasn't there. Some had new boots which they'd sure admire when they warmed their feet in front of the fire. And the women folk had new clothes too, but not like the women of these days do. Them good old days past and gone. Time and the world and change goes on. And you can't do things like you used to do when cattle was plenty and folks was few.
That is a great song, and Michael Martin Murphy and Waddy Mitchell on that. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, and Murph was just talking about how that song was written. You know, there are several songs that are on these albums and that will be part of the show that we want to share with our audience. And, you know, we've talked about this before. We've got folks that are, you know, all across the U.S. and in several foreign countries now. I mean, I've had some people in Sweden just recently that have been sending emails, and folks down in South Africa. We really want to introduce a lot of folks to this music and maybe get them to come over and catch the show next year. And by the way, Lance and I were talking earlier, Murph, we wish that the show was closer to Nashville, Tennessee, so that we could catch one of the shows. You need to bring that east sometime.
Well, I have. I actually did some Cowboy Christmas balls in Nashville at the Wild Horse Saloon downtown.
Uh-huh.
But I never have done the production show there. I'd love to bring the production show to maybe the Franklin Theater or something.
Oh, that'd be a great venue for it. Yeah.
Or TPAC, as they call it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if we do the symphony version, we have a symphony version where we have charts for the whole symphony to play along with the music, and we could do that at the Skirmerhorn. So we thought about it, but the problem is always routing. There's so much demand for it in Texas and Oklahoma that it's hard to get out. But we are actually doing one in Missouri. The closest we'll be to Nashville is Steelville, Missouri, coming up here pretty soon. The weekend of Thanksgiving. Steelville is over by St. Louis.
Okay.
So it's not out of the question. It's an old 1920s guest lodge in the Ozarks. So people drive sometimes from Nashville over to the Wildwood Springs in Steelville and the owner of it just bought a theater in Steeleville. So the show actually is with me and Susie Boggess, and it's produced right there in Steeleville.
Wow.
But people stay in this lodge. So, you know, if you just got to see it, you could, if the weather's good, come on over to see it. But that's as close as we get to Nashville.
Okay. All right. We'll have to
on this tour anyway. But, yeah, we need to bring it back, Keith.
We'll have to work on that. And while we're talking about the tour locations, the date, you're in Colorado Springs at Stargazers Theater tomorrow. You'll be in Greeley, Colorado at the Union Colony Civic Center on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then
yep.
The tour itself actually covers four states, Colorado, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Texas. And so we want folks to go to michaelmartinmurphy.com and check on the tour dates. There's a special section for the Cowboy Christmas, and it's got all kinds of great information that you can pick up there. And then the tour ends finally December 21st at Anson, Texas, at the Pioneer Hall with the Cowboy Balls. So be sure and check that out. But again, we want to introduce you to some great music there, and I just discovered a couple of things that I really enjoyed on here. One of them is you mentioned Susie Boggess, and right now we have one that's called the Two-Step Round the Christmas Tree. And let's play that and listen to this. And I believe you said that Susie wrote this one and performs with you. Is that right?
Yeah, I asked her to sing on the album with me because she had sung Happy Trails with me on the first Cowboy Songs album.
Uh-huh.
And she said, yeah, I'd love to be on there. I've got a song I'd actually like for us to do. And I said, I'm there. No matter what it is, just bring it and we'll do it. So, and she did it. And I thought she did a great job of writing this song.
Gosh, well, it's a great song. And talking about Susie, on your website, on the Cowboy Christmas Tour section, there is the video of the Cowboy Christmas Ball and Susie performing in that with you. And if you go to my website, to equestrianlegacy.net, on the home page, we have that video posted there. So it's a lot of fun to watch that. And great people that worked on that video with you. But let's listen to Two Step Around the Christmas Tree, and then we'll be right back to talk with Michael.
Not for me.
Roll back
Two Step Around the Christmas Tree, and that's Michael Martin Murphy with Susie Boggess on there. And is this one of the songs that will be in the show?
Absolutely, always, every year.
Well, it is a fun song, and I guess people may get up and dance in their seats or something when they hear that, to go along with the Cowboy Christmas Ball song itself. It's a lot of fun.
Well, you can't really hear it, you know, in the way that we've done this interview, because it would make the songs too long. But we actually tacked a medley of dance songs that go along with that beat.
Uh-huh.
At the end of every one of those, it's not every one, but on several of them, Christmas Cowboy Style, the Cowboy Christmas Ball, and Two Step Around the Christmas Tree, those all have medleys of old-time dance music from the 1880s tacked onto the end, on the album and on the DVD that we have out. And, of course, we always play those during the show, too. So it gives us a chance every year to tack new things on. If a fiddler comes up and says, man, I learned this great old-time fiddle song, what do you think of this? Then we put that on. And that's how we are able to do contemporary songs written by Susie Boggess and do the old-time dance music, too.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, you know, we just want to give people enough of a taste on this program that they get in their car or truck and travel to one of the venues to hear the show. And so, you know, it's awful tempting to try to head out to Missouri from here to catch the show, because I'd love to see that. Christmas on the Line.
It's actually only a few more hours from Nashville to Longview, Texas. And we do some balls in East Texas. We actually do one in Longview, Texas. We've done now for 8 years. It's a benefit to a ministry called the Heartlight Ministries, and that is a residential facility for young ladies that have been in toxic family situations.
Uh-huh.
And we do a benefit for them every year down there through Mark Gregston. And we'll be doing that the first weekend in December again. It's called the Longview Cowboy Christmas Festival, and we're 2 or 3 days. Baxter Black is one of the performers. And of course,
great.
We've got Pauline Reese with us and several other Texas music people. So.
Well, that's great. That is great. Well, where is Anson, Texas? What part of Texas is Anson in?
Anson is near Abilene. It's about a 20-minute drive from Abilene, Texas.
Okay. All right. I lived out in El Paso, Texas for 2 or 3 years, and it seemed like once I got to Abilene, the country changed dramatically as I kept going west.
Yeah, Abilene is kind of where the west begins and the east peters out, you know.
Yeah, and it sure felt like it. Oh, gosh. Hey, well, let's play Christmas on the Line, and tell us a little bit about this song.
Christmas on the Line was written about the fact that real cowboys that take care of cattle on cow-calf pair places where they have mother cows and calves, and those herds are around all year long, unlike a steer operation. They are a lot of times living in a line shack in the wintertime out there on the ranch, and they have to go to a line shack that's kind of away from the home ranch. Particularly if they're cowboys, they probably live in that line shack all year round, and that becomes the bunkhouse. Those cowboys are closer to the original spirit of what happened at Christmas time, because the first people who got the news of the birth of the Savior were not the politicians or the priests or the preachers of the day 2,000 years ago.
Right.
The first people to get the news are cowboys of the day. They were the people who were watching sheep, goats,
right,
and cattle. The original Greek and the Bible, when it mentions what we translated as shepherds in the English, that literally means a herdsman. And in the Bible times, the herdsman watched not only sheep, and it was primarily sheep grazing culture, but they were not only sheep, but they had goats and they had cattle. Cattle were a very important part of the Jewish culture at the time, and the whole Middle Eastern culture. To have
right.
cattle meant that you really had wealth. So these guys are out there. These cowboys of the day are out there, and these angels appear. So cowboys of the of today who are out there at Christmas time doing their job are literally closer to the spirit of the original happening where the angels appeared to the herdsmen out there on the land. And that's what cowboys have to do with Christmas.
All right. Well, let's listen to Christmas on the Line, and we'll be right back to talk more with Michael.
That old north wind howling high up in the timber, the only choir that I remember when I was riding on the line. One lone star hanging over the horizon, like the one that led the wise men as they followed heaven's sign. Snow-capped peaks like the angels in their glory seem to sing the ancient story as the wind blows through the pines, drifting to the sound of spurs jingling, like silver bells ringing. Christmas on the Line.
Christmas on the Line by Michael Martin Murphy, and we've got another one that we want to follow up with called Christmas Trail, and it's a great song. I think our friend Don Edwards is joining Murph on this one, so let's listen to that now, Christmas Trail.
Tips of snow and cross the ranges lying brown and dead.
It's crying through the valley trees that wear the mistletoe and mourning with the gray clouds overhead. Yet it's sweet with the beat of my little horse's feet, and I whistle like the air was warm and blue.
I'm riding up the Christmas trail to you.
I'm riding up the Christmas trail to you. Oh, maybe it was good when the whinny of the spring had wheeled me to hopping of the bars
and living in the shadow of a sailing buzzard's wing and sleeping underneath a roof of stars.
But the bright campfire light only dances for a night, while the home fire burns forever, clear and true. So round the year I circle back to you, old folks, and I'm riding up the Christmas trail to you.
Maybe it was good at the roundup in the fall, when the cloud of ball and dust before us ran,
and the pride of rope and saddle was a driving of us all to a stretch of nerve and muscle, man to man. But the pride sort of died when the man got weary-eyed. 'Twas a sleepy boy that rode the night guard through, and he dreamed himself along the trail to you, old folks. Dreamed himself along the Christmas trail to you. The coyote's winter howl cuts the dust behind the hill, but the ranch's shining window I can see.
And though I don't deserve it, and I reckon never will, there'll be room beside the fire kept for me.
Skip my plate, 'cause I'm late, let me hit that old kid gate. For tonight I'm stumbling tired of the new, and I'm riding up the Christmas trail to you, old folks. I'm riding up the Christmas trail to you. I'm riding up the Christmas trail to you, old folks. I'm riding up the Christmas trail to you.
Michael Martin Murphy and Don Edwards with Christmas Trail, and we're talking with Michael Martin Murphy about his 20th annual Cowboy Christmas Tour, and we're just we're delighted to have Michael joining us on the call. And Michael, I wanted to ask you about the Murphy family Christmas tradition. What do you guys do for Christmas?
Well, it all depends on where we are at the time, because I usually come off the Christmas tour, and one year we might be in Wisconsin where Karen's family is, and one year we might be out in Colorado at our ranch out there. One year we might be in Texas where we can see relatives down there. That's where we were, went to Texas. But our tradition is just, like a lot of families, just to get as much of the family together as possible. But because the family is so scattered out all over the country, we have to look at, you know, sometimes going all the way across the country to people that can't travel. My mother's in Oregon now.
Wow.
And living close to my brother, so, and she's 92, so she can't really travel anywhere. So if we're going to see her, we have to go out there. Other than that, we're extremely traditional in the way we do things. We each open one Christmas present on Christmas Eve. And on Christmas, we like to have a big Christmas. Kids and the young and old all gather around the Christmas tree on Christmas morning. We always go to a midnight service that's available there. If the weather allows, we go to a midnight service on Christmas Eve. To a church in the local area, wherever we are, or for home right there, to where we go to church in those areas. I divide my time between Colorado, Wisconsin, and Texas, so we have kind of a home church in each area.
Right, right.
That we go to. We always dance. We always play music. Christmas Day. Also, for around snow, we all ski. I'm a cross-country skier and a downhill skier, but these days
wow.
I do mostly cross-country just to keep myself in shape. And it's very demanding on the lungs at high altitude, but it really builds up your VO2 max. So I'm a cross-country. Plus, I love getting out in the wilderness. I'm a mountain man. I just like to be out there away from the ski lifts and stuff. But the kids will go downhill skiing. They'll go cross-country skiing with me sometimes. We go snowmobiling. If we're in Colorado, sometimes we'll actually rent a sled and go out with some people that have sled dogs.
Oh, wow.
And go sledding that way. Pretty much went into all the winter sports, ice skating, everything. My wife is from Wisconsin, so she grew up around ice skating and snow sports and snowmobiling. And there actually are ski areas in Wisconsin, and some of them actually have some pretty good vertical in them. It's really surprising.
Yeah.
How nice the skiing is there. So we get it done wherever we can, but if we're out on the flats in Texas, we still cross-country ski out there if we have snow.
Oh, wow. Well, it sounds like I need to get adopted into the Murphy family. It looks like you guys have a big time celebrating Christmas. But anyway, the 20th annual Cowboy Christmas Tour starts tomorrow. And that is, again, in Colorado Springs at the Stargazers Theater. Greeley, Colorado on Saturday the 23rd at the Union Colony Civic Center. And check the website michaelmartinmurphy.com to connect with the tour dates and see where he's going to be playing. How many shows are you doing this year? Do you know offhand?
25 shows in 30 days.
Wow. Wow. Well, I was looking at the schedule, and it looks like it just gets heavier as the days go on. So we encourage people to get out and visit this. It looks to me like this ought to be a Christmas special on TV sometime. So
There's a book coming out about the whole history of the ball. It's based on an archive that I got started at the Southwest Collection at Texas Tech University. And so the whole history of the ball is being archived now, thanks to the people there. And one of the professors there, who's also a writer, is writing a book called Let's Dance, the Texas Cowboys Christmas Ball. And it's got the whole story in it. And I just talked to some people in Hollywood, and there is going to be a Cowboy Christmas Ball movie. We don't
know if it's
going to be a TV movie or even a regular release, but there is going to be a Cowboy Christmas Ball movie.
That is fantastic. That is fantastic. Well, keep us up to date on when that's going to happen and when we can look for it. And but in the meantime, everybody get out and enjoy the holiday season, the Christmas season, with the Cowboy Christmas Tour and the Cowboy Christmas Ball that starts tomorrow in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And Michael, thanks so much for taking the time to join us again today, and safe travels as you're going all across these four different states to bring people a lot of fun for the holiday season. And we appreciate you very much.
Well, thanks for having me on. You know, I wouldn't have missed it for the world, because we got to keep the spirit of the first people who got the news of the birth of the Savior in Christmas, and that's the Cowboys. The people who are watching grazing animals out on the land were the first people to get the news. That's why I did this show, because you guys are tied in with that lifestyle that I love so much. And I'm very proud of the fact that we were chosen as the people who first got the news.
Well, I am as well. So let's carry on that cowboy tradition and look forward to talking to you again soon. We want to remind people that you've been listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. We're on live every Thursday at noon Central Time, and all of our shows are available in a archive podcast. You can look for that at equestrianlegacy.net. Check out Michael's website, michaelmurphy.com. And if I think I remember correctly, you said you liked it when people like you on Facebook. And so
that really helps us out a whole lot.
All right. So that's Michael Martin Murphy's fan page on Facebook. And I feel the same way about Equestrian Legacy Radio. So be sure and visit our Facebook page and like us there as well. So we're going to close the show out today with the Cowboy Christmas Ball. And again, Michael, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk with you soon.
thanks. If you don't have anything to do while the song's playing, stay on the line. I could talk to you about a couple of other things.
All right. Well, I'll be right All there. Right. All right.
Okay.
Thanks. Cowboy Christmas Ball, Michael Martin Murphy, and don't miss him at a location near you.
Way out in West Texas, where the Clear Fork waters flow, where the cattle are a-browsing and them Spanish ponies grow, where the northers come a-whistling and the old dust devils roll, and the prairie dogs are sneezing and freezing from the cold, where the lonesome tawny prairies melt into the airy streams, and the double mountains slumber in the heavenly kind of dreams, where the antelope are grazing and the lonesome plovers call. It was there that I attended the Cowboy Christmas Ball.
The music was a fiddle and a lively tambourine, and a big bass violin ported by stage from Abilene. Now the room was togged out gorgeous with mistletoe and shawls, and the candles flickered frescoes all around them merry walls.
Where the women folk looked lonely and the boys looked kind of sweet, till the leader commenced to yell out,
"Hey boys, let's all stampede!"
And the music started sighing and a wailing through the hall. It's a kind of introduction to the Cowboy Christmas Ball.
The leader was a feller that come from Swenson's ranch.
Yep, they called him Windy Bill, from Little Dead Man's Branch.
When he commenced to holler,
"Now fellas, stake your pens, lock horns with all them heifers,
and wrestle them just like men."
Salute them lovely critters, now swing them and let them go, and climb the grapevine round and round, now hands all do-si-do. You mavericks join the roundup, just skip the waterfall. Boy, it was getting active at the Cowboy Christmas Ball. Boys were tolerable skittish, and the ladies powerful neat. That old bass violin music made us jump in with both feet. That wailing frisky fiddle I never will forget, and Windy Bill kept singing, and I believe I hear him yet.
Oh yes, boys chase them squirrels, cut them to the side. Doc Hollis to the center, oh, now Crosby Charlie's bride. Around you get old kittens, now rope and balance all. Oh.
Hey, it was getting happy at the Cowboy Christmas Ball.
The dust rose fast and furious, and we all just galloped around,
till the scenery got so giddy that Z-Bar Dick went down. We buckled to our partners and told them to hold on, and shook our hooves like lightning until the early dawn. Don't tell me about cotillions or polkas, no siree. That whirl in Manson City, it takes the cake from me. Oh, Bill, I won't forget you, and I often will recall that lively gated soiree called the Cowboy Christmas Ball. Oh, no, I won't forget it, the Cowboy Christmas.